This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Thank you once again for tuning in to today's broadcast of the Invisible War radio program. We are so blessed to have you join us today, and we know it will be a blessing to you as well. It's also great to have Dr. Randall back in the studio with us as we continue the teaching from Dr. Randall's new book called Lies That Kill. If you've missed any programs along the way, you can go to our website at theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the broadcast button, and there you can navigate through all of the programs to hear any of them again. Rob, these deceptive lies from the enemy that you have been taking us through have been very eye-opening to us because of how easily we fall for them. I can't help but to feel as we go through each one how many people have been deceived by these lies. Rob, good to have you back in the studio again today.
We welcome all of you who listen today to The Invisible War. Thank you so much for taking your time. Such an important study in the Word of God that we share together. Now, if you've missed any of the programs on this most important subject and Chapter 5 of Lies That Kill, The Supernatural Battle for Truth, I want to encourage you to go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And you can download any programs that you might have missed for free. They're available to you at your convenience. But I want to encourage you to go back and study this chapter with us together. Now, if you do not already have a copy of Lies That Kill, The Supernatural Battle for Truth, let me encourage you to go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org, where you can get your copy of this new book that we've just finished, where you can study it along with us as well, with the radio programs that are available online as well. But I encourage you to get your copy and do it today. Let me encourage you to order your copy today. We'll send it right out to you. Just let us know how we can help you acquire this book. You know, Tim, I'm so deeply grateful for the listeners that we have each week on The Invisible War.
We absolutely appreciate each of you and your partnership with us in The Invisible War. We sure would love to know how this ministry is reaching out to you, so won't you take a minute to reach back to us? Call us at 1-877-808-8886. I know how much it would mean to Rob to hear from you today. Once again, let me remind you to get your copy of Rob's new book, Lies That Kill, by going to our website. Just follow the prompts to get this book, and your copy will be mailed out to you right away. There's a lot we need to get through today, so Rob, I'll turn it over to you.
Now, this particular lie that we continue to study, a very carefully crafted lie of the enemy, and that is, I'm doing the best I can, surely God only expects me to do my best. This particular lie, if believed, leads us to a self-centered life. And if we live according to what we're able to do, then quite frankly, we don't need God. I mean, if all you really need to succeed is what you're able to do, then you don't need a supernatural God. You don't need a supernatural life. The fact is, God has something so much better for all of us. Better marriages, better relationships in terms of our finances and all that God is doing for us. He has abundant life that's a gift from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I ask you today, are you really satisfied with what you're able to produce? Are you really satisfied with the fruit of your labor? Are you really satisfied with life as it is without the power of God? Boy, I'm not. I have to tell you, I need the Lord's power. I need His provision. I need His strength. I need His healing. I can't cleanse myself. I can't heal myself. I need the Lord so much, even more today than I did yesterday. How about you? And so we've come to this particular lie, so often believed by so many, even in our churches. So often the cross of Christ and the meaning of the cross of Christ and the significance of our entering into the relationship with Christ at the cross is lost in so much teaching today and so much preaching. Now, I'm not trying to point a finger or accusing any of my brothers or any of that. We don't do that here on the Invisible War. I just want you to know that God has a supernatural life that He has made available to you at Calvary. But it only comes when we come to the end of ourselves. It only comes to us when we finally come to realize that the best we can do will never be good enough. That I need the Lord. I can't do life without Him. I refuse to only have what I can produce. I want what the Lord can produce in and through my life. So we've looked at the temptations of Christ last time. We began with the first temptation, and we see the strategies of the enemy through the temptations of Christ. The strategies of the enemy against you, against your wife, against your husband, against your children, and against us. And that is, he has three things that he works on. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. You remember, the first temptation of Christ was he came out of a 40-day fast. Satan told him, when he confronted him, he says, turn the stone into bread. Eat. Eat. You're hungry. Eat. And in this offering of Satan, we see the difference between that which the flesh can offer and that which the Spirit can offer. Jesus responded to him supernaturally through the Word of God in Luke 4:4. Man shall not live on bread alone. The answer is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. Oh, please hear me. All the temptations of Christ, as we have already seen, all the temptations of Christ is to get us to accept anything less than going to the cross. Any life except going to the cross of Christ. Any decision, any part, anything that we receive, just so long as we don't go to the cross. Why? Our flesh dies at the cross. It is at the cross where our flesh must be crucified with Christ. Paul put it this way, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Satan is telling Jesus, eat the bread, just don't go to the cross. Accept the answer. Don't go to the cross. Why is Satan so afraid of the cross? Because it is at the cross he is defeated. It is through the blood of Calvary Satan is defeated. He would say to us today, go ahead and have church. Just don't go to the cross. Don't let your religious experience die at the cross. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and have communion. Go ahead and sing your hymns. Go ahead and worship. Just don't go to the cross. Don't let the life of Christ be substituted for your life. And yet at the cross, that's exactly what happens. The life of Christ is substituted, is sacrificed for the flesh life, for our self-centered life. Aren't you glad with me today that there's a place where our flesh can die? That we are able to receive a life of abundance, a supernatural way of living, other than what we can provide in this old world? Aren't you glad there's a cross? Aren't you glad there's a victory over our flesh and death? Aren't you glad there's victory over sin and what we can produce? All of our righteousness is filthy rags, but at the cross, Jesus' righteousness becomes our righteousness. He clothes us at the cross in His righteousness. Now we look today at the second opportunity of the evil one, this second area where Satan can so easily take advantage of us, and that is the lust of the eyes. In Luke 4, verse 5 through 7, look at it with me. And Satan led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. One might ask, could Satan really have given to Christ all the kingdoms of the world? Were they Satan's to give? And the answer is yes. Through sin and disobedience, man abdicated his God-given authority of dominion over this world to Satan. See Genesis chapter 3. Therefore, the devil was, in fact, able to offer the kingdoms of the world to Christ. However, the deal was offered only if Christ would receive them in exchange for not going to the cross. It is not surprising that Satan tried to use the lust of the eyes on Jesus to try to make him fall. Jesus said of the eye in Matthew 6, verse 22, the lamp, the reflector of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. The significance of our eyes in the spiritual battles with the evil one cannot be overstated. Cicero, the Roman statesman, rightly stated, the eyes are the window to the soul. Not only do our eyes let into our hearts what is around us in our environment, our evil environment, good or bad, but our eyes reveal what is in our hearts as well. They illuminate what is going on in our souls, good or bad. As the song we used to sing as little children reminds us, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Notice again with me Jesus' answer to Satan's temptations to the lust of the eyes in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. No matter what it looks like, no matter how alluring or pleasuring to our eyes, no matter how logical it may look or reasonable it may seem, we must never allow anything to take the high place in our lives but God alone. What am I saying? There are places, if we are not careful, that look like in our eyes that they are worthy of worship. Don't do it. Don't go there. There is only one who is worthy of our worship. Money may look like it is worthy of our worship. Don't do it. The love of money, the worship of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. Not just some, all kinds of evil. Don't do it. Oh, we can go on and on and on. Don't do it. Don't worship in the place of the flesh. Don't do it, even though it's alluring to do so. Don't live to meet the desires of the flesh. Don't go to that altar. Don't do it. Don't do it. It is the Lord alone who is worthy of all our worship. It is as though Satan is saying to Jesus, I'll give you everything you can see. Just don't go to the cross. Live only for what you can see with your physical eyes. Don't go to the cross and die for everyone. Then everyone who is crucified with you, their eyes will be spiritually opened to the real truth, to the real matters of life, to the eternal things of God. The third area that Satan has access in our lives, if we give it to him, is the boastful pride of life. We see this in the temptation of Christ in Luke 4, verse 9 through 11. Would you hear it with your heart? And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Now let's take a good look at Satan's temptation of Jesus as he appealed to his self-centered pride. My good friend, Dr. Jim Logan, who has for so many years prayed with those who have fallen into the deceptive clutches of the enemy, he shared his experience in dealing with the spiritual issues that stem from pride, and I quote Dr. Logan, "In my week-long counseling sessions with people who are under the influence of the enemy, there's usually a major turning point. The neon light goes on and begins to flash the shiny word, pride. Pride! They realize that pride has become the source of the problem, the base from which Satan has been able to launch his attacks." What Dr. Logan is saying is that all of the attacks, all of them ultimately come down to pride. All of Satan's tactics and lies and schemes that lead us to death ultimately are aimed at our pride. Pride. Notice with me again how our Lord Jesus answered the evil one's temptation. He used the living Word of God. The Word of God always works against the enemy's scheming, treacherous lies. For the Word of God is truth. In Jesus' priestly prayer for believers, we find these words, "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, verse 17. And in Luke 4, verse 12, Jesus answered and said to him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan knows that if you and I will believe the truth of God, he doesn't stand a chance to win the battle for control of our lives. His murderous schemes are spoiled through the truth of God's word. Satan is saying to Jesus, "Exalt yourself now. Just don't go to the cross. If you go to the cross, then everyone who is crucified with you will be given the supernatural ability to humble themselves and walk in the supernatural power of God where I have no strength at all." It is important to note that this was only the first of Satan's attempts to try to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Luke 4, verse 13, we find these words, "And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." He was still scheming to cause Jesus not to go to the cross. Satan's attacks never cease. What doesn't work in our lives today, he thinks just might work tomorrow. Maybe if he keeps trying, he will find us in a weaker place, and then we will give in to his murderous lies. Now here's what we all must understand. All temptations are designed to get us to establish our lives short of the cross of Christ. If Satan can get us to establish our marriages and our families short of the cross of Christ, he will have won in bringing us into his pit of defeat. If the devil can get us to establish the ministries of our churches outside of the cross of Christ, he will have won in bringing us to destruction and defeat. If Satan can get us to establish our walk in this world short of the cross of Christ, he will have succeeded in bringing us into death and ultimate defeat. Satan was and is only defeated at the cross of Christ. Would you hear the word of God today? And when you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Here it is. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Christ, through him. Colossians 2, verse 13 through 15. Jesus died on Calvary as the sacrifice for our sins. Please hear this. Satan wants us to do anything, even if it's religious. Just don't go to the cross. Don't take our lives to the cross. Don't die to the flesh, because it is in the cross that he knows that he's defeated. I want you to know today, my friend, that if you'll take your life right now to the cross of Christ and let Jesus pour his blood over your wounds, over your addictions, over the way that you have been living outside of the supernatural work of God, Satan will be defeated and you can be free today in the finished work of Calvary. You can walk with Jesus, but you must go, I must go, to the cross.
And we do look forward to having you join us again next week here on the program as we continue our study on this topic. Please, let me encourage you, we really do depend on your financial support in order to bring the program to you each week. I know you may hear it a lot from other ministries, but for us, it is very true. We do depend on your financial support to be able to broadcast this program here on this station. So if you have been blessed by this ministry, I have no doubt that God has been speaking to your heart to do something, anything, that would be a huge blessing to us with your financial partnership. Please call us with your generous gift at 1-877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. You can also go to our website to make your contribution today, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. And thank you in advance for your generosity. Dr. Randall, I knew today's topic would be a very important one as we have gone through it. And as you mentioned, we're going to pick it up next time, but we're at the end of the program today. So will you take time in these closing moments to pray for us, to lock in what we have learned today?
Would you pray with me right now? What an important time. What an eternal moment God has given us. These moments do not come often. Do not let this pass. It may not come again. Would you open up your heart right now and take your life and bow before the cross of Christ? Would you do it with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sin at the cross. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Teach me. Teach me, Lord, how to follow you all the days of my life. Teach me to live the crucified life so that the life of Christ can come into me and through me. And I thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the cross. Amen and amen. Now, if you prayed with me today, would you let me know it? Email me. Email me with your prayers or concerns or questions. TheInvisibleWar.org. That's TheInvisibleWar.org. Or you can call me toll free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. We're so deeply grateful that you have shared this time with us today. We look forward next week as we continue our study in Lies That Kill, the supernatural battle for truth on the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall, your host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. I wanted to invite you to our new Invisible War Bible study. Mark your calendar. This month of February, we are meeting on Sunday the 19th at 5 p.m. at the El Dorado Country Club in McKinney, Texas. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, for all the details of the study and the directions to the El Dorado Country Club. I look forward to meeting you and praying with you at the Invisible War Bible Study in McKinney.